Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Fish Cake, CB, and JP. And join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. Golf season, it's almost here. Golfdom has you covered in Tyson's or at golfdomgolf.com. Come experience the best in clubs, apparel, shoes, accessories, and more. Golf them, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for moving me to today so that I can go to my daughter's concert tomorrow morning. I appreciate it.
Of course. Not a problem.
What does she play?
Well, tomorrow she's playing the violin.
Nice.
She also plays the piano. She actually has some musical talent, which clearly skipped a generation in my family because both my parents played instruments, and I got fired by three different piano teachers as a kid before my parents finally gave up on me.
Is it tougher to learn violin or piano? I don't know.
Oh, I think violin's harder.
But it's harder?
I think violin's harder. One of the reasons kids take piano lessons is because it's the easiest instrument to learn. There's a lot more technical stuff you have to learn to play the violin, which I never did. Both my daughters have played the violin, so
I you have to have an ear for it.
I took
too.
Piano lessons, yeah. And it did not come easy to me. I can tell you that, John.
Well, I can tell you that I can't comment on how easy it ever came to me because I never wanted to do it. I had one teacher who had a scale. And you got to move up a note on the scale every time you had a good lesson. And when you got to the top of the scale, you got some kind of prize. I never got to the top of the scale because I spent most of my time in the Dirty Hands Desert. Because I'd always come in after playing ball, and she'd go, your hands are filthy. It just didn't go well.
I think Valdez, that's a Valdez thing. Dirty Hands Desert. Old bay all over his fingers.
Yeah, I think
it's
a lot
gross.
Of boys lived in that
yes.
area.
Yeah.
John, who's the best athlete or coach you dealt with that also was a good musician?
Oh, that's a good question. Rick Barnes is good. He plays the guitar. No, you know who it is? It's Cliff Ellis. Cliff Ellis, actually, when he graduated from college, was the lead singer in a rock group that had a recording out and was very successful. And for years, he would get up and perform at the ACC meetings when he was coaching at Clemson. And all the coaches gave him a hard time, but apparently, his backup singers were like Gary Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, and Jim Palfano and Bobby Kremins.
We have
a good story. Better than that video of that.
We have a good story about Cliff Ellis. When we were young and stupid, we used to tape interviews.
Yes.
Right? And we taped an interview with Cliff Ellis. Let's call it noon. You know, show ends at 10. We taped it at noon. And there was a problem with the connection, the phone line, and it went dead. And this is what he said.
Holy Toledo. Holy Toledo.
Sounds like that's real. That's not a fake tape.
That's legit.
He was so bitter that we had to redo the interview.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking to you guys once is kind of a chore. Twice?
I know.
For sure.
It's a good point.
Exactly. So we started the show off talking about, let's talk about Ryan Newman. The Daytona 500. We can't believe that guy walked out of the hospital.
He didn't even appear to have a concussion, anything.
He was barely limping. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm not a NASCAR fan. I'd be the first one to admit that. But I do remember writing a column about Dale Earnhardt when he died, which is, 19 years ago now? Was it 01,
I
think?
Yeah, 01. Yep.
Yeah. And how stunning it was to everyone who followed NASCAR at all. And clearly NASCAR has made improvements in terms of driver safety. I mean, if the NFL was doing as good a job as NASCAR has done, they wouldn't have nearly as much discussion about CTE and concussions. But, you know, all you can do is be thankful. I don't know Ryan Newman, but I'm saying when you see him with his two daughters yesterday, you go, oh, God, thank goodness he's okay. And we didn't have a tragedy. And good for him, good for NASCAR, and good for God. Give him credit.
Well, the thing is with the NFL, I mean, there's only they can't build a roll cage around these guys. You know what I mean?
No, they have a big problem. The NFL has a different kind of problem, obviously. But, you know, what I was saying is if they could find a way, and maybe play flag football or something like that, they wouldn't have nearly the issues that they do, even though Roger Goodell goes around talking about how it's sitting on your couch is just as dangerous as playing football, which just makes him sound like a moron. Which still would only make him the second stupidest commissioner this week, by the way.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Good thing.
Yeah.
I wrote a column in the Post on Wednesday. And, you know, when you write a column, especially if it's on a controversial issue, you expect half the feedback to be positive, half the feedback to be negative, except on my Bob Knight column where 90% of the feedback was negative because everybody wanted him dead. But this was the other way. This was like 95% people saying, yeah, you're right. This is brutal what he's done. It's brutal what the way the Astros have handled it. I mean, it's almost impossible to take a situation like this and make it worse, and they have absolutely made it worse. It's the old Watergate cover-up being worse than the crime deal. And Manfred's a lawyer. When I think of Manfred, now think of when Brent Musburger got fired by CBS and he went on Letterman and he described the negotiations that led to his firing and his brother was his lawyer. And at one point, Letterman looked at him and said, so your brother, is he like a real lawyer? And I want to say that about Manfred because when you're prosecuting someone or a group of people, you don't just go in and give blanket immunity. And the excuse is, well, the union demanded it. Well, then you say to the union, no. You say, we're going to negotiate this. We're going to figure out a way that we can get the information we need. You turn people, you know, ever watch Law and Order, for crying out loud? And you get to the truth without letting everybody off the hook. What the heck is the point of getting to the truth and then saying, but by the way, nobody gets punished? And he still hasn't even taken away the title, which there's no reason. The union wouldn't get in the way of that. And he says, well, you know, what did he call it? A piece of metal, the trophy?
Hunk of metal or
yeah,
something.
People were happy metal. About that.
I mean, come on. At the very least, you take away the trophy. You take away their banners. You in the record books, it says vacated, the way they do with the NCAA. And you at least make a gesture to say, yeah, we know this was terrible. Instead, Manfred's treating it like, you know, somebody stole a signal from second base.
Houston Astros games are going to be must-see TV. And we were
they're going to be different, let's put it that way.
We were talking about this yesterday. Is your feeling about them that they're going to kind of rally behind it's us against the world, or are they really going to have – there's going to be so much outside pressure, especially media pressure, that it's going to be tough to go out there every day and win?
Oh, well, they're already playing the us against the world card.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we're going to go out and show people how good we are, and they are good.
Some teams can
I mean, they're very good.
Some teams can do that.
Yeah. And you know, and again, it's not like football where guys can hit each other or even basketball or hockey. Baseball is a non-contact sport, basically, except for plays at the plate. And they're not going to – people or pitchers are not going to be able to throw at him because Manfred's now coming down with a hammer saying, oh, if you throw at the Astros, we're going to penalize you. So the guilty parties are going to get protected and the not guilty parties will get prosecuted. I don't know what the man thinks sometimes. I think he's been a terrible commissioner since day one. But of course, that fits in with the history of baseball with Bowie Kuhn and Peter Ueberroth and Bud Selig. I think the last good commissioner they had was Kennesaw Mountain Landis. The first commissioner.
How is Manfred going to decide if Carlos Correa gets hit, that there was actually any purpose behind
it? Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, pitches do get away. Obviously, if you start to see a pattern, then you can, you know, umpires have to make that judgment all the time on inside pitches. But, again, he's not going to be able to seriously prosecute people. And if he does, if he goes around handing down penalties and suspensions every time an Astro gets hit, then it's going to be chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, Cakes and I want to play a season win total bet on the Astros. I can't decide to go under 94.5 or over.
Hey, John, you want in? We can three-way chop it if you want.
There you go.
Yeah. Will you guys take my credit card? Because I haven't got any cash.
Sure. We'll take Venmo, PayPal, anything you want.
I'll jot down your
appreciate
credit card
that.
Number.
You know, they're in a tough division. Wow. You know, the A's are good. The Angels should be a lot better. The Mariners, who knows? But that plays into that 94.5 number. I think that if I had to bet, which I don't, I might go under.
Later.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Thanks, Cliff. I'm gonna call Cliff today and remind him of that.
I thought that Locke would be retired. I didn't realize he's still coaching.
Is no, he's been at Coastal Carolina about 14 years now, and I went and saw him last year when I was researching my book, The Backroads to March, which is out in 10 days, by the way. I got to get you guys copies.
Very good.
Nice. Thank you.
And the pre-pub reviews are great, I'm happy to say. But I went and spent a day with him, and he still loves doing it, and he'll probably do it for another year or two. He's going to be 75.
Wow.
I mean, he's one of the – but he's his goal – this is kind of a cool goal – he's got about 750, 60 wins. They're about 500 this year. His goal is to retire with more wins than Lefty Drizel because they're best friends, and he wants to have that over Lefty.
Ah, that's funny. So how many does he need?
Cliff was one of the guys who pushed really hard for Lefty to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Right. John, let me just serve up a softball for you. Peter Costas had some remarks on a podcast recently. Blowing up CBS and how they just refuse to be critical now. They just want to, he says they won't even show bad shots anymore.
I haven't heard the interview. I read about it, yeah. So I'm flying a little blind here. But it's not like this is brand new for the networks to be suck. Any network, CBS, NBC, Golf Channel, who I worked for, to suck up to the PGA Tour. I mean, they both sides make a big deal about the fact that their partners, Lance Barrow, who's been CBS's producer of golf for 20-plus years now, always tells the players, remember, they're the media, we're your partners. And I know from firsthand experience that the Tour always has a PR guy in the TV truck, and I've had producers shout in my ear, don't say that again when I've said anything even semi-critical of the Tour or player or whatever. They it's all happy talk.
Yeah.
And Costas and McCord both served specific roles. Costas was the swing guy and had worked with a number of the players on the Tour on their swings. And McCord was the guy who brought some levity to it. But I would tell you that where CBS has dropped the ball completely is they've never had a guy in the tower on 18 who was as good as either Miller or even Paul Azinger. And they blew it when David Faraday wanted to be in the 18th tower, and they said, no, we got Nick Faldo. Look, Faldo's a six-time major champion. I get all that. But David Faraday versus Nick Faldo on TV? Come on. That's like David Faraday versus Nick Faldo on the golf course, except right. The other way around.
Yeah.
So this isn't new, but there's no question that Costas and McCord for years and years played very specific roles with CBS, and the new guys just aren't them.
Yeah. What about Costas? What about Costas bringing up the Patrick Reed thing, where he said he knows of four instances where he's caught him, you know, like improving his lie and things of that nature.
You know, this is an interesting story. And did you see Brooks Koepka's comments the other day about Patrick
building
Reed?
Sandcastles? Yep.
What was interesting about it was he said this goes on all the time. And I've heard whispers through the years. There are guys who point to certain guys and say that guy will, you know, build a better lie in the rough, and that he'll do. You know, Marco Mira was accused years ago of moving his mark up when he marked the ball on greens, and Mark McCumber was accused of stuff years ago, specifically by Greg Norman at the World Series of Golf 1 year. So the interesting part of this story to me is not so much most players hate Patrick Reed, and as I've told you before, I like Patrick Reed. I get along with him. He's always cooperated with me, but most players don't like him. But the fact that you now hear people saying, "But this happens a lot." I mean, one of the things that we always trumpet as being great about golf is that guys police themselves, and now they're basically saying, "Yeah, no, maybe not so much."
No.
Well, Costas said he thought 99.99% do. the right thing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even going to give Patrick Reed intent. He says, I don't know his intent. Maybe he doesn't even realize he's doing it. He said, but I've seen him do it four times now.
He's got
it.
Well, if he doesn't realize he's doing it, and if it's happened more than once, then that's on the rules officials. Because the rules officials need to sit down with him, show him the video, and say, this is what you did. And whether you intended to do it or not intended to do it, you have to be hyper-conscious to never do it again.
Right.
Because that's what they are there for, to help literally help the players out so that they don't commit a violation, so that they stop them. The best example of that was, remember the PGA where Dustin Johnson had a chance to win and hit it into the sand outside the ropes and forgot that there was a local rule that made that a bunker, even though there was garbage in it and people walked through it. Well, the walking rules official with him should have said, when he asked him, what do you need? He said, can you move the crowd so I have some more room to hit the shot? The guy should have simply said, absolutely, Dustin, you got it. By the way, remember, you're in a bunker.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you see NBA officials or college officials point to a spot to tell players they can't move inbounding.
Right.
Or when they count the number of players on the court coming out of a timeout to make sure that each team has five, that they're not short or have six or whatever. That's called preventive officiating. Mm. And if you've got a guy who has done something even once, but certainly more than once, it's up to the officials to try to make sure he doesn't do it again.
Yep, I would agree. All right, John, have fun watching your daughter tomorrow, and have a good weekend.
Enjoy the concert.
I certainly will. Good weekend to you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, coming up next, we open up the entertainment page. Who's the mega celebrity whose daughter has turned to porn? We'll get to that next here on The Junkies.
Look, we don't like it if you miss the show, but if you do, you just go to radio.com, use the rewind feature, rewind up to 24 hours. Just get the radio.com app on your phone. Boom. Couldn't be easier.
That's right. If you're a Caps fan and you're like, why aren't the boys talking Caps?
Yep.
We had Coach Todd Reardon on the show at 7.
We did, yeah.
Let's say you woke up at 7:20. You didn't tune into the show at 7.
Right.
Rewind.
Yes.
Radio.com. Boom. Gets you right there. You listen to Coach Reardon talking about the new addition to the defense. Talking about bounce back Thursday.
Yes. How hopefully you're going to pull in the Canadiens tonight on home ice. That'll be nice.
They're not in first right now, but come Monday, can be a totally different picture we're talking about.
Could be.
They win their next three.
Can the Tampa Bay Lightning, can they stop winning games?
I think they
won 11 straight.
Oh, they didn't play
last
night.
Can they just stop winning games already?
11 straight.
All right,
I don't worry about them as much as Pittsburgh.
Right.
Let's open up the entertainment page, which we'll try to get to, despite the fact that we all need to thank Bethesda Bagels for delivering us fantastic breakfast.
Oh,
EB has brought his in studio.
Yeah.
So this will be a Bethesda Bagels entertainment page.
Yep, it's good.
Love it.
All right, boys. So there's a celebrity. I'd say A-list, about as A-list as it gets.
Yes.
Daughter. Who's come out as a porn star, Cakes?
I see.
Michaela Spielberg, 23, the daughter of the legendary film director Steven Spielberg, and his wife, Kate Capshaw, revealed Wednesday that she's starring in her own solo porn video.
Hey, she'll probably have a good cinematographer.
I hope her dad's not involved.
Yeah, man, that's a project her dad's probably going to stay away from.
It's definitely a genre that Drabby's into, though. Family.
Father-daughter bonding time?
Yeah. I don't know. That's
it's usually step.
Right.
For legal purposes,
that's
I think.
That's correct. You're very correct.
She's a self-proclaimed sexual creature. Told the outlet she got really tired of not being able to capitalize on her body. And frankly, I got really tired of being told to hate my body. She said, this isn't an end of the road thing or I've hit the bottom choice. This is a positive, empowering choice.
Mm.
I realize there's no shame in having a fascination with this industry and wanting to do something that is safe, sane, and consensual. Now, apparently, some of her videos were up on Pornhub under the name sugar star.
How does she work with others, or is she a solo artist?
But they were pulled for some reason because she didn't have a permit.
Pass the sugar.
Pass the sugar. Pass Michaela.
The sugar.
So how do you think Steven Spielberg is like Kate Capshaw?
I would rather watch a Joe Hatcham video than whatever her soup sugar star.
Yeah. Yeah, Valdez, can you find one and ship it my way? I'll preview it.
Sounds like a Candy Crush level. Yeah.
By the way, what level are you on, Valdez? Valdez is he is a closet Candy Crush donk. I think he's on like level 1,000.
What's he doing on the pooper? Like, when's he do it?
When I'm bored.
I think whenever he has spare time, he's crushing a lot of candy.
That's still a thing?
Still a thing.
Well, Cake still plays Words with Nerds.
Words with Nerds. Don't slow down on that.
He's the world's worst player.
I'm tired of getting pwned by everybody.
643.
He's on level 643.
So Spielberg's daughter has got to be adopted, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Because
she looks like
race.
It's a mix. Yeah.
Mixed race, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've adopted a couple. Maybe not. Maybe she's the only
is
one.
Is she bald?
It's hard to tell. You're only seeing like her face. Here you go. I mean, I don't know. Sure, her body's great. She's 23 years old. What are you going to do? Yeah, dude, I was watching Survivor, the winners, and I don't want to be a pig or anything, but so a lot of these people haven't won in 20 years, right? But so some of the girls that were hot 20 years ago, now they have four kids.
Right.
You know, life's hard. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not the same Survivor that it was 20 years ago. They're wearing like, they're covering up a lot,
right?
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And they usually will put a couple like frumpies.
I can't believe you're watching it.
I watch with my daughter. Yeah. It's a bonding thing.
Yeah.
Was that last night?
It was tape delay. I think there were two episodes in or something. Yeah. So we watched the first hour of the 2-hour opener. And Boston Rob is back,
Amber's
Boston
back too.
Boston Rob is so heavy.
Rob and Amber who.
I think they met on season two, I think.
Didn't we see them in an airport in New York?
At a Super Bowl or something.
Didn't Boston Rob have a failed attempt at like a poker player career?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Just not usually not going to work out.
Fishy. He was a fishy.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably was. Big old fish.
Is Jenna on it?
Who?
Jenna.
The one that had the video?
Yeah.
No.
She never won.
No, you have to be a winner. You have to have won.
Mm.
So that's why it's kind of interesting. All these people have won $1 million before.
Let me guess. Jeff Probst still has like a 31-inch waist and looks ripped beyond belief.
Yeah, he looks the same. You can tell he's got a little Botox or whatever, but he generally looks the same. Yeah.
When did Rob win, though? He didn't win in the original.
Well, they have all these ones where you come back.
He wanted some sort of comeback.
They always have these things where you return all-stars or whatever.
Mm. Let me guess. Everybody's getting bitten by mosquitoes on the island. I'm just going to go with that.
Here's what I wonder. I asked my daughter this. I'm pretty sure. They have porta potties there, right? They're not like pooping in a hole. It's not like
I have no idea.
I think at this stage, 40 seasons in, I think
they have hidden porta potties behind the palm trees.
Yes, I really do.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, they give them rice. They give them fire.
Yeah,
they all lose weight though.
They do lose weight because
I don't think they give them much rice.
No, but they have rice. It's rationed. But they get rice.
Because they get like, butt-sized when they win a prize of, like, a candy bar.
Oh, yeah, or, like, Mountain Dew.
I mean, I haven't watched it in years, but.
I'm on a Survivor board here, and it says, where do they go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
They do two things. Number one, they dig a hole away from camp.
Ooh. Yeah.
Number two, they do an aqua dump.
They do one in the water.
Oh, wow.
I've done that before. I've done that before.
They do a caddy shack.
I've never pulled that before.
My son
ever.
Did that in the Outer Banks.
I did really? In the ocean. Oh, yeah. No, I would never do it in a pool.
Well, not
I would
a pool,
do it in
sure.
The, I did it in the ocean once, yeah.
Yeah.
If that's
why?
The preferred method.
I had to. What do you mean, why? I'm not going to go all the way to the hotel.
He has terrible bowels.
I do.
What do you mean? What do you mean? If I have to go to the bathroom, I will find a bathroom.
I'm just saying, in that particular scenario, I did not have the willpower to go all the way to the hotel bathroom.
It's willpower.
Sometimes it's a pain if you get a place.
All right, raise your hand in here.
Bayside, not
raise your hand in here if you've pooped in the ocean.
Oh,
shocker,
Valdez.
I knew it. I knew Valdez.
I mean, everybody's done.
Raise your hand if you've done it more than once.
I can't remember. I don't think I've done it more than once.
I mean,
Valdez, how many times?
I don't know. A handful. I mean, I've gone
a handful.
I'm going to Ocean City many times.
At least one of those is at Secrets.
Why can't you make it back to your hotel room?
Because he was probably doing day trips.
Or to a public restroom.
He was probably a nubber doing a day trip.
No, because when you're a little kid, sometimes you can't really hold it. Then mom and dad tell you just walk in the ocean.
We're talking about like it as an adult.
Oh, as an adult? I wasn't a kid when I did it.
Oh, as an adult?
Yeah.
Maybe only once.
That's so gross.
But I mean, if you're going to do it,
how can you poop in the ocean and then like body surf? Like, how could you possibly do
that?
Go
really deep? You know the dirty crap that's in the ocean?
Yeah, do you know how big and vast the ocean is? Well, I mean, once it's gone.
You never heard of a floater, King? Yeah.
You're in the ocean. You're not in a pool.
You go out past the break.
Disgusting, right?
Swim out past the breakers.
I would be afraid it would hit me halfway.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
And then the riptide sends it down to like 46th Street.
No, it doesn't. It sends it up to some old lady's feet.
By the way, I believe
smack you right on the back.
I believe riptides are a foul. I don't even think those exist, but you can run with that.
You're thinking that.
Jim, you're thinking that. Are you insane?
I'm
kind of doing a bit.
Yes, you're kidding.
It's like Dravy doesn't believe in herpes.
You get caught in a riptide, swim sideways. I mean, come on. Let's not over. Oversell the riptide.
You know what? Put him in a riptide. Yeah. A really good one. Yeah. He'd be a goner.
Not at all.
He'd be a goner.
Yeah, get the world's strongest riptide.
You'd be
throw
goner.
Me in it. I swim sideways. It's mud easy.
I think you lose your sense of where you are.
Oh, boo-hoo. I'm a little bit further out than usual. Please.
I feel like we all would.
Scoff at riptides.
This is just a hypothetical. It never happened. What if all four of us had a race, like a 50-meter swimming race?
Yes.
I feel like Cakes would not be great at it.
I think I would beat all of you in a 50-meter.
Really?
Yes. Oh, is that up
are
and
you
down?
A good swimmer?
I'm okay.
Do a flip?
Sure. I mean, who can't do a flip in a pool?
I can't
do
really
a flip
do
turn.
That.
You can do a flip turn.
Of course.
Yeah, I can do a flip turn, but
babies can do a flip turn.
Are you Mark Spitz?
I know I would not come in last. No, I know that. Hmm. Especially if you throw all the donks
on
the other side.
I just want to send you to like Portugal and put you in a riptide. And see if you come back.
If
or
somebody
not.
Has a portable riptide machine, bring it down
I
to half
shocked
street.
I'm shocked
at
all the things he's fearful of. He's not fearful of a riptide.
Because I've never been caught in one. Yeah. Ever.
You right. hear stories about
Ever.
Kids getting sucked away by riptide
I've heard all
the
stories.
Yeah,
adults I kind of scoff at them.
It's the one thing I worry about when I go to the beach with my kids.
My son, it wasn't when I was with him. He was with his mom. He got caught in a riptide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For like 20 minutes or something like that.
Now, I don't go out super far. I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
but
you don't have to go out very far, though, to get caught in one.
Yeah.
You can only be a few feet in there.
That's true.
But can you believe all the things he's scared of?
Yeah, I can swim.
He's cocky this morning.
I can swim.
Evolved. I just remember when he came to Puerto Rico with my family. He was roughly 13 or 14 years old. He came one summer to Puerto Rico. He would freak out about sound in the ocean that sharks were going to come.
Well,
like,
you're down in the tropics.
Was he wearing his water shoes then?
I don't think he was at that stage.
I had not evolved to that point yet.
I don't know. Cakes and I just remember there was a chick that would come to the beach every day.
Yeah.
That looked like a Playboy playmate, and we were just
correct.
Horny 13-year-old teenagers. And all we would do is wait for her to emerge from the condo and show up on the beach.
She was unbelievable. I wanted to pull my shorts down in the water. And just treat my body like a roller coaster.
All we would do is go to the beach.
Because, you know, you're 14 or 15,
down.
You're all horned up, and this is like a fully grown, this is not like a 17-year-old chick. This is like a mid-20s, full-on woman. And you just don't, you look at her, you're like, whoa, what would you do with that? What would I do with that person? You put yourself in some scenarios.
It honestly was like Pam Anderson in her prime coming down every day.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Mark Zuckerberg, interesting nugget on him. Like, how much is Mark Zuckerberg worth?
I'm going to guess with the way the Facebook stock is at this point, he's probably worth
$50 billion, $100 billion.
He laughs at $50 billion. I think.
He's
probably worth $95 to $110 billion.
All right,
so
not that far. $50, $100 billion. What's the difference? It's in the same.
What's the difference between $50 and $100 billion?
Well,
a lot.
All right, 2019 it was 68.2.
All right,
according to.
I said 50, so I was pretty close. All right. He has, apparently, you know, he always wears the same outfit. Do you know what his outfit is?
No.
He's a hoodie guy.
T-shirt and jeans.
Gray T-shirt. He's kind of like Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell, I think, is a white T-shirt, right? Or black. He's a gray T-shirt and jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, before he takes the stage, he has his assistants blow dry his armpits.
I saw that detail yesterday. That's kind of weird.
Blow dry his armpits so he appears calm, cool, and collected, Case.
You know what? If I were
he doesn't want to be all clammy and sweaty and
if I were worth $70 billion,
I'd
probably
get sweaty on the stage.
He can.
Could, sure.
He can.
I'm sure that's happened before.
You can.
You know what? If you were worth $70 billion, you'd probably have somebody doing that too.
Yeah. I'm not hating on them. When you see someone who's sweating in their armpits, you start to feel bad for them. You feel like they're struggling. You start to feel anxious.
Yeah.
You don't want to sweat in your armpits. It's hurting. See if you can find this, Valdez. Any song by the rapper Pop Smoke.
I felt terrible when I saw this headline yesterday.
This is terrible. The rapper Pop Smoke is dead now. He was shot and killed in a home invasion by four masked gunmen.
And what? I think he was in, like, was he in Beverly Hills or he was, like, in Hollywood Hills? He was in, like, a nice spot.
Hollywood Hills.
I think he was renting John Mellencamp's daughter's house.
Yeah, he was in, like, a fancy spot. And I think it was two guys came in with masks.
So was he targeted or is it just a rando?
I'm sure it sounds
like
he was
targeted.
There
was a party or a gathering at the house prior to the shooting. I don't know. Video shows four masked men with hoodies making their way into the house just 10 minutes after people inside the house deadbolted the front door shut. We're told they did not turn the house alarm on, which made it easier for the home invaders to get inside.
Did you hear about the horrible story of the 17-year-old in Charles County that was shot?
I did hear about it, yeah. Shot like in his driveway.
Son of a PG County police officer, I believe.
Yeah.
Just shot in his driveway. Yeah.
I think they arrested somebody this morning.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Another 17-year-old.
Yeah.
So what was the point?
It was drug-related.
Oh, I didn't see that they arrested
somebody. That's the headline that I saw.
Good. Right. I'm glad they did. But, man, what a horrible story.
That's awful.
And then last but not least, I think you guys talked about this while I was away. Drew Carey's ex-fiance has been arrested for murder.
One of the ex-fiance died. The suspect has been arrested.
Yeah.
His ex-fiance has been arrested.
Correct.
He's out on bail,
The woman died.
Yes.
Her boyfriend has been arrested for murder after, I guess, initially being released. He chucked her over a balcony.
Right.
Right. And he's out on bond. He's walking around.
No, they arrested him yesterday.
Oh, they grabbed him again.
I guess they realized, why are we letting this murderer go,
Did you hear about what that dumbass Wendy Williams said?
She says a lot of stupid things.
She's the dumbest person on the planet. I wish she would just go away. But she said, after reporting that story, she said, come on down, like she was looking over a balcony.
Oh, doing the come on down from Price is
from
Right.
Price is Right.
Oh, that's very tone deaf. And
she stared at the ceiling and then stared at the floor and said, come on down.
Right, what an idiot.
I mean, what is she doing?
Nobody in the audience was chuckling, I'm sure.
It was awkward silence, and then she tried to move on. But. How dumb. Stupidity jail, that's where she should be.
Yeah, put her in. Throw her in the poke.
Right there next to Greg Robinson for transporting 175 pounds of weed.
The stupidity jails would be overflowing.
Oh, so full. Yeah, just filled with people.
All right, remember, it is Open Line Thursday. You want to chime in or anything, your chance to steer the show at 800-636-1067. The Nationals are going to start playing. Leave on Saturday.
Against the Astros.
Yes.
Correct.
We're going to talk some Nationals with Todd Dybas, covers the Nationals for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock here in the Junkies. By the way, quick shout out to Roosters in Bethesda. I saw my girl Joanne yesterday. She got the fresh cut. And you guys made fun of me earlier when I said this, but I am looking at the Wizards schedule grasping. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I can't stop looking at it.
It seems like they haven't played in a month.
I know. They haven't played in forever. Remember, they entered the break having won five of their last seven. They're still 20-33.
And they play the lowly Cavs tomorrow.
They've got the Cavs.
Yep.
And if you look at kind of the next five, they've got the Bucks on the horizon, all right? That's a loser.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got the Cavs. They've got Golden State on the horizon. They've got some winnable games. And when we had Coach Brooks on a couple weeks ago, it's not like he's touting a great record, but he was pointing back to when they got healthy, like a stretch well beyond the seven games, they've been playing 500 basketball.
Right.
If they simply played 500 basketball... Right, that's probably not good enough to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be.
But
in
you
the
did this.
Mix.
Well, they have a bunch of winnable games on the schedule potentially. Then Golden State came in here and smoked them.
Yeah, but they won 5 of 6.
Yeah,
I understand.
The fact is they're 3 back.
They're playing some bad teams.
Right.
And
they're 3 back.
And look at the loss column. I think it's less.
Loss column is.
No, I mean they're 3 games back.
They're 2. It's 2. They got 2 more losses than Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah. But in games behind, there are three games behind him.
I'm just not into chasing eight seeds. That's all. I guess you guys are, and I'm not. I think if that's the difference.
Well, I don't think there's any difference between eight seed and missing. Like, I'd rather be in.
If you root for a team, don't you want them in the playoffs? Like, if you root for a team, like, you went to Towson.
Yeah.
Wasn't it great when Towson made the NCAA tournament?
Of course it was.
Even when you knew they were going to get smoked.
One seed.
Right.
Even when you knew they were one and done.
Gave Oklahoma a little bit of a run when they were the one seed 100 years ago.
But to answer your question, yes, they have some winnable games on the sched. God, the NBA's been off my radar.
But I don't look at their schedule, and I don't look at them and say, they might make the playoffs. They have a playoff sweat. I just don't even let that enter my mind.
Hey, look, it's a local team. I've gone to a couple games this year into it. I'm grasping that they make the playoffs. They'll get smoked by Milwaukee if they make the playoffs. Of course they will. They'd be lucky to win a game.
You can't just say,
series.
I only want them to go to the playoffs if they have a chance to win a championship.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Redskins fans would love it. Add a wild card. Maybe you grasp at that wild card spot. You love it, even if you know you're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Of course, you get lucky, win a couple rounds, have more joy in your life.
Down the stretch here with 20 games to go, whatever it may be, 25.
I think there's about 29. I think.
But I'm saying once they get to that 15 or 20, these teams below them in the East are going to be in tankathon mode, my friend.
Right.
Like the Bulls and the Hornets and the Pistons, all those teams.
By the way, I think if you took the Wiz season win total,
what was
like 26 or 26 and a half,
you're going to win.
If you took the over.
Correct.
Yeah, you're going to win.
Pretty good right now.
You're betting on
if they go 500 the rest of the way, they'll get to 34, 35 wins.
Yeah.
Actually, Coach Brooks done a pretty good job.
All things considered.
Because they've had all kinds of injuries, haven't had John Wall.
Yeah.
John's not coming back.
I thought they'd be worse.
Rui's probably, when he's been on the court, has been a little bit better than expected, I think.
I think so. Yeah. And obviously, Bertans has been great.
Getting rid of Isaiah Thomas helped. Just helped.
Yep, it did.
They got better. All right, so Cleveland, Chicago, the next two, and then Milwaukee, and then Brooklyn, and then they go out west.
But. So Brooklyn with no Kyrie, so you can grasp.
Why don't you just humor me and just click on the Magic's schedule. Just humor me.
Thing is, the Magic,
Orlando's schedule?
I think like you really gain ground if you play a team and you beat them heads up. I think they may be done with playing Orlando, and Orlando pretty much pwned them.
But I'm sorry, maybe Orlando plays the Bucks and Celtics or whatever. You know, who do they
have? I just
think
three games is a lot to make up.
It is.
All right, so Orlando in the next, I'll give you the next five. Dallas at home, at Brooklyn, at Atlanta, Minnesota at home, at San Antonio.
They've got some numbers sprinkled in there.
They go 3-2 there, yeah.
Yeah, but they've been playing, unlike the Wizards, if you were to look at their last 10 games or even 15 games, they've been playing poorer than the Wizards.
The Wizards in the last 10 are 6-4, they're 3-7.
Correct.
Right, I'm just, trend lines, my friend. It's a grasper theory, but why wouldn't you root for your home team to make the playoffs?
Of course.
Look, the Caps only went one round last year.
I know, it was disappointing.
Now I know you expected more, but they went one round.
It's better
you rather than miss the playoffs?
But again,
if I told you
you're missing
the Caps
part of it,
are maxing out at either one playoff round or you get no playoffs.
Of course I would take the one. But you're also missing the fact that the Caps had just won the cup the year before.
Understood.
So you had that afterglow of, well, it sucks they got knocked out, but they just won the Stanley Cup in 2018.
Right, but he's right. This year, what if I told you they're going to make the playoffs but lose in the first round, or I'll save you the frustration and they don't make the playoffs?
It's like 51-49.
Right, so take it.
But couldn't you build on the success? Like, I would say, I would think of it this way. This was a year which you knew you were kind of punting. They even brought in guys, short contracts. It's a transitional year. You draft Rui, you want to see the development there. You have some of these younger players. To get in the playoffs would give them experience, and then you get John Wall back and another pick.
I just don't consider making the 8 seed in a weak Eastern Conference that much of a success. Apparently you do.
Saying it's that much of a success, but it's a stepping stone if you believe you're heading in the right direction.
It's a combination.
You got rid of
Ernie. It's a combination of you're better than you thought you were going to be, because especially when Wall got hurt, and it's a bad conference.
And it's a building block.
With the exception of maybe four teams, the conference is terrible.
Let me ask you a question. If you want to win 50 games, you think it's easier to win 50 if you won 20 the year before or if you won 35 the year before?
Guessing when you win 35, easier to get.
I think it's easier to build on.
Cakes he's all Caps right now. He's checked out on the Wizards.
He's just checked out.
I'm not in on this. Well, maybe they can make that 8 seed sweat.
He thinks more about swimming out of riptides.
I'm curious what's going to happen. You're jaded by the Ovi era and all the success.
Totally.
when Ovi retires,
yes, that which sad, might be dark day,
5 or 6 years from now,
yeah.
If the Caps become a Wizards-like bottom feeder,
right, which hopefully they will not, they probably won't.
I wonder how you're going to feel about them.
I have more of a soft spot in the ticker for the Caps than I do the Wizards. The Caps are my undisputed one seed. They're the one seed. Mm-hmm. The Wizards are they're second.
What's your three seed?
Distant second.
My three seed. It's a good question.
You don't really have one. He doesn't really have
Nets.
One.
I've kind of
not the Nets.
Honestly, I've kind of glommed onto the Terps because two of my kids have gone to Maryland.
Oh, good. Sure.
All right.
Good.
And what's your and four seed?
I've lived in Maryland my
entire
life.
So now we're really getting to the low, to the bottom of the bottom.
Low seed. My fourth seed.
What about the Nats out there?
He's not thinking about the Nats. Not thinking about
the defenders.
No, not the defenders. I mean, I want them to do well, but I mean, they're not the four seed.
It's the Raiders. Four seed. The Raiders.
No, the Raiders are like a 14 seed.
Oh, really?
By the way,
I mean, I just
DC United.
No. I guess I'll begrudgingly put the Nats as my four seed.
Begrudgingly,
his four through 14 would be 10 poker players.
Oh yeah, they'd be much higher than the Nats.
Yeah, not for me. Much higher.
By the way, you notice no one talks about the XFL.
I don't know that that's true.
We haven't talked about it all week.
Our show.
Oh.
No one talks about it. No one.
I don't know.
Maybe you'll see
Chad Dukes talks about it. He's a big DC Defenders guy.
Look, I'm not.
So you're out. You're out because you were in early.
I don't even know who they play this week.
Well,
they play the LA Wildcats on the road. It's a revenge game.
To me, they're all the same.
No.
It didn't matter who they play.
If you were paying attention to the team and the league, you would know who they play. I don't know.
They're playing at the LA Wildcats. I know that.
The teams don't even have identities yet. I mean, they're playing two games.
I don't think that's going to continue.
Don't worry about who's playing who. I actually worry about who's playing the Tampa Bay Vipers.
I know
they
bet the under.
Let's bet against them and make a lot of
money. I want you to be on the record as officially out.
No, I'm going to pay attention to the scores, but I can't.
Are you betting on it yet?
Yeah, I bet on both weeks.
You did.
All right, let's do this. Let's chop a $500 bet against the Vipers this weekend. That way you'll be interested.
Houston lays 7 at Tampa. The total's 45.5. I would play the under there.
No. Let's play the side.
We can do that.
Chop it for $500.
Why don't you put your money bags over there? You got so much money, you don't even have to take it out of
your. I've got a heads up golf bet already brewing.
All right, DC plays at LA, like you said. They're laying 8.5. Total's 44.
Is this the Pepper Johnson revenge game?
I think it is.
Wasn't he hired by DC after being fired by LA?
They picked him up.
Is that Winston Moss? Is that the head coach?
Yes. That I don't know.
Figure out your bet.
Yes, we'll figure
it
out.
Coming up next, we're going to talk some Nats. Todd Dybus covers the Nationals for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us here on the Junkies.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.